Man, this must have been something else. For Jesus, the Prince of Peace, to see this mob approaching him with swords and clubs, being led by one of his own friends.
Welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in Mount Airy, Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
In our last broadcast, we listened as Pastor Grant continued his series on the Passion of Christ by exploring some of the lessons of Gethsemane that are foundational to our faith. This week, we will hear Pastor Grant in his message entitled The Pain of Betrayal, as he examines how it is that one man, after walking with Jesus as one of his own for 3.5 years, was willing to betray him into the hands of his enemies with a kiss. Please turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, and verses 47 through 56, as Pastor Grant continues his series on the Passion of Christ. Here's Pastor Grant.
Let's take a look at how the Savior was betrayed by Judas. Let's look at the story of the betrayal. It was shortly after midnight, and Jesus was about to leave the Garden of Gethsemane. And as he was about to leave, remember the hour now, it's very late. Some writers say it might have been 12:30. Some say it may have been 1 a.m. in the morning. But what we know, this is real late. Jesus had been praying. He was in the garden with his disciples. And he's about to leave. And he's confronted by Judas and a large crowd armed with swords and clubs sent by the high priest. These men were armed as if they were trying to arrest an armed revolutionary. What in the world was Judas doing mixed up with this type of a crowd? You know, Judas had been traveling with Jesus for 3.5 years, and he had seen how loving Jesus was, how gentle he was. What in the world was he doing with this armed mob? But look at his treachery. Look at the depth of his treachery. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, verse 49, the Bible tells us Judas went at once to Jesus. "Greetings, Rabbi," he said, and he kissed him. Why in the world didn't Judas just turn him over quietly? Why greet him with a kiss? Why pretend that he was giving Jesus some special honor? Jesus, who had shown him nothing but love and mercy. Remember now, Jesus was the one who had allowed Judas to handle the money. And Jesus knew that Judas was a thief, and he didn't even request an audit. And Jesus had given Judas some special gifts. You know, sometimes we forget this, that Judas was one of the 12 disciples whom Jesus sent out to preach and to heal and to deliver people. Don't miss that. Judas was part of that group who was given these special powers to heal and to preach. Isn't it incredible to think that after all Judas had seen and experienced, that his mind was just focused on one thing, that all the time Judas was really thinking about the money? But Peter was not going to go down without a fight. Turns out, because Matthew doesn't identify this disciple who cut off the guy's ear, but the Gospel of John identifies him as Simon Peter. And it turns out Simon Peter was traveling with his weapon. Simon had his sword. The Bible says he pulled out his sword and he swung it and he cut off the ear of the high priest's servant. Now make no mistake, he wasn't really going for the ear. He was really going for the neck. He was trying to chop off this man's head. But he missed the head. He only got the ear. And of course, you know, Jesus, another gospel tells us that Jesus actually took the ear up and he put it back on. Jesus was not overpowered or surprised. In verse 53, Jesus made it clear. In verse 53, the word of God tells us there, "Do you think I cannot call on my Father and he would at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels?" A Roman legion is 6,000. And so Jesus is saying, don't you realize that I could have dispatched over 72,000 angels? And the Old Testament tells us the damage that one single angel can do. And Jesus is saying, don't you realize I could have dispatched 72,000 angels? Listen, this is not surprising me. And the fact that there is this mob, it doesn't bother me. They have not overpowered me. But Jesus is saying, listen, this had to happen that it might be fulfilled. Jesus was willingly going as a lamb to be slaughtered. Jesus, listen, Jesus at this very minute had you in mind, and Jesus had me in mind, and so Jesus did absolutely nothing to stop them that it might be fulfilled. Aren't you thanking God for Jesus today? But although Jesus was not surprised, it's evident that the betrayal caused him great pain. I believe some of the messianic psalms help us to understand how Jesus felt. And Psalm 41 verse number 9 helps us when it says, even my close friend whom I trusted, he who shared my bread has lifted up his heel against me. Part of the pain that Jesus was experiencing was that it was an inside job. Have you ever been betrayed by a friend? But what made this even worse? He's not only being betrayed by a friend. He's being betrayed by a friend who is coming with a mob. Man, this must have been something else. For Jesus, the Prince of Peace, to see this mob approaching him with swords and clubs, being led by one of his own friends. Psalm 55 verses 12 to 14, as the Spirit of God uses the psalmist says, for it is not an enemy who reproaches me, because if it were an enemy, then I could bear it. No, it is one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me. If it was one who hates me and I knew he hated me, then I could hide from him. But Jesus said, but it was you, my companion and my acquaintance. You are the one who has done me in. And I want you to realize this morning that as we go through this message, that part of what the Spirit of God is going to challenge you and he's going to challenge me is, to what degree are we involved? To what degree right now in 2015 am I involved in betraying Jesus? Last week we took a look at the deep sorrow of Gethsemane. And now Jesus is not only, he is just getting up from the sorrow of Gethsemane. He has just gotten up from this point where his sweat was like great drops of blood falling to the ground. He has just gotten up from when he said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. And no sooner has he arisen from the ground from praying, he is now being betrayed by his friend. He is now experiencing an additional pain, the pain of betrayal. But this morning I want us to take a look at some of the steps to betrayal. How did Judas get here? Did you ever stop to think about that? How did Judas get here? How did we end up in this garden with this mob? I'm going to suggest first, it was because of a life of wasted opportunity. John MacArthur indicates that the primary meaning of the name Judas is Jehovah leads. Judas's parents likely were godly people who had high hopes for him. They gave him this name, Jehovah Leads, hoping he would grow up to be led by God. But instead, Judas chose. Don't miss this. Judas chose to be led by the devil. You know, it's great being born in a Christian home. But that means nothing unless you choose to follow the Lord. And I want to say to you this morning, there are some of you here who are born in Christ. You had the blessing of being born in a Christian home. And what I want to ask you, what have you chosen to do? Have you chosen to follow Jesus? The hymn says, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. Listen, let me ask you, young man, young lady, has that been your decision? Has that been your choice? Have you chosen to follow Jesus, or have you decided to go some other way? It bleeds my heart to see young men and young women who were privileged to be born in Christian homes, to have the privilege of going to Sunday school and having the Word of God explained to them. And then after all that, they make a decision to follow the devil, to walk away from Jesus. What a wasted opportunity. And this morning, if the Spirit of God is speaking to you, if I'm speaking to someone this morning, and as you examine your own heart, you recognize that although you might be in church, your heart is not here. Might God speak to you this morning, and you might you open your heart to Him and say, God, I have been going the wrong way. I've been making the wrong choice. But oh God, today I want to choose to follow you. I spoke to a young man just a few weeks ago, and he said, you know, and this is a young man who was a Christian following the Lord, doing well, and he said there came a point in his life where he felt, you know, I'm missing something. He said, I decided I want to go party a little. And so he said, I really figured I was going to come back to God. But I just wanted to party a little. Oh, I wonder if I'm speaking to somebody here this morning. And all you want to do is to party a little. Oh, you intend to come back, but you want to party a little. While he was partying a little, he tried crack cocaine. And of course, the stats on crack cocaine and the addiction rate is so high. 16 years have passed. 16 long years have passed, and the parting a little, he's still struggling to get his foot reestablished as he seeks to come back and follow the Lord. And I want to say to you young people, listen, there ain't anything out there. There's nothing out there worthwhile following. I am going to encourage you today, my friend, particularly those of you who have Christian parents. You need to make a decision. I am going to follow Jesus. You know, one of the things that helps me from straying too far is that I didn't want to hurt my parents. Though you may say, what a weak reason. But do you know, I believe there are many of us here like that. That one of the things that kept us from straying too far is that we didn't want to hurt our parents, because we know how it would grieve their hearts if we just walked away from God. And I want to tell you, those of you who have decided to live shaky, I wonder if you realize what you're doing to your parents. Do you realize how you're tearing out the heart? It's almost like you're ripping the heart of your parent out. If you are a Christian and your parents are Christians, listen, if you have Christian parents and you're not walking with Jesus, you may as well grab their heart and pop it out. You are tearing their heart out. Not to say what you're doing to the heart of God and the Spirit of God. As you quench the Spirit of God, as you grieve the Spirit of God. Listen, young person, today it is time. Judas, here, don't miss this. Judas got there, first of all, because he lived a life of wasted opportunity. But second, Judas got to where he was because he lived a life of covered sin. You see, Judas had been misbehaving all along, but he had covered up his sin pretty well. John's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 5 and 6. Some of you remember that story, with the lady with the alabaster box of perfume. And after she had come and done this to worship him, John's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 5 and 6, I think is going to be on the board for you. But here's what the verse of the word say. Here, Judas. He's trying to act all spiritual. Is it amazing sometimes that the person he's trying to act all so spiritual has an ulterior motive? And Judas said, that perfume was worth a year's wages. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor. And here there's the commentary in the Bible. Not that he cared for the poor. He was a thief. And since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole some for himself. He was skimming. And so Judas is saying, listen, we should have really sold that thing. Lady, you really shouldn't have worshipped Jesus like that. You shouldn't have lavished so much on Jesus. What about the poor? You know, the worst thing that can happen to us is that we sin and think we got away with it. I don't think we realize what I'm saying. Let me say that again. One of the worst things that can happen to you or to me is that I sin and think I got away with it. You know why it's so dangerous? Because if I think I got away with that sin, guess what I'll do? Another one. And then another one. And then another one. Until eventually I am in so deep. Sometimes I say I'm already in so deep, there is no point in my trying to turn back now. Judas's big problem was that he thought he was getting away with sin. Now, can you imagine Judas is traveling with a man who could walk on water and who could raise the dead. But yet somehow he figured he was so slick. He could do something. And this person who had such incredible power, he figured he could do something that this person wouldn't have realized that he did. Oh, come on, give me a break. And the reality is that there are some folks like that today who believe they can do stuff and get away with it. But you see, the Bible makes it clear that Jesus knew all along what Judas was up to. I hope you realize that even from the verse I just read, that Jesus knew all along what Judas was going on with. But listen, sometimes God will give us a lot of rope. Do you realize that? Jesus never called Judas out, although he knew what he was up to. He gave him a lot of rope. And that's the problem with us. We think we have gotten away because no judgment has come. Judgment has not come swiftly because God sometimes gives us a long rope and we keep sinning. Oh, I got away with that. We keep sinning and we got away with it. We keep sinning. But listen, eventually you are going to run out of rope because my Bible tells me, be sure what? Your sins will find you out. My friend, I don't care what your age is. You might be a young person or an older person. You need to realize that those sins that you are covering up and you think you're getting away with it, you need to realize that God sees and God is recording it and God will eventually catch up with you because my Bible never lies. And if God says that sin will catch up with you, that it will find you out, you can rest assured the sin is going to come back to haunt you. And eventually Judas ran out of rope.
This message is part of a series on the Passion of Christ that Pastor Grant will wrap up during our Easter weekend services. You are invited to visit us, but if that's not possible, please call to order a CD or a DVD or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org to view these messages.
This is Taylor Noble inviting you to join us for our Easter weekend series. Our Good Friday Communion service begins at 12:30 p.m., and on April 5th, our special Easter Sunday service begins at 10:45 a.m. Come and join us as Pastor Grant delivers a special message entitled, The Impact of the Resurrection. For directions and further details, call our office at 215-242-5550. Again, 215-242-5550.
I pray this morning that if you are there, you're here and you're covering up your sin, I pray that this morning you may come and confess. Proverbs chapter 28 verse 13 is a very powerful verse. Proverbs chapter 28 verse 13, it tells us there, he who covers his sin will not what? But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Falling into the water isn't what drowns people. It's staying under the water that makes them drown. Isn't that what we said before? My friend, the challenge of the hour is not whether you are in sin. It's not whether you fell into the water. The question is, are you going to stay in the water? And there's some of you right now know exactly what I'm talking about. There's some of you living in sin. You're walking in sin. You're thinking you're getting away with sin. The question is, this morning, are you going to stay in the water? Or are you going to come to Jesus and say, oh God, I confess my sin. And by God's grace, I'm going to forsake it. Forsake means I'm going to turn. I'm going to take a new path. I'm not going to keep on the same road. He who confesses and forsakes them will have mercy, and to glad there is mercy available. But the third thing I noticed as I studied Judas to try to determine, how did he get here? How did we get to being so diabolical? I had to come to the conclusion that part of it was a refusal to submit to Jesus as Lord. Now there's something I don't want you to miss. Back in Matthew's Gospel chapter 26 verse 20. I want us to notice there. When evening was come. Are you there? Matthew 26. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, I tell you the truth. One of you will betray me. They were very sad and began to say to him one after the other, surely not I, what? Lord. What did the other 11 disciples say? Surely not I, what? Lord. Compare that to verse 25. Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, surely not I, Rabbi. Have you noticed how interesting the switch? All the others, surely not I, Lord. But when you get to Judas, surely not I, Rabbi. And here in the passage we just read in Matthew 26 verse 49, he comes to Jesus and he greets him. And how does he greet him? With a kiss and with the word what? Rabbi. Don't miss that. As far as Judas was concerned, Jesus was not his Lord. Jesus was Rabbi. Jesus was a good teacher. And we're living in a society where everyone is willing to accept that Jesus is a good teacher, that Jesus is a good example. Do you realize where the challenge is? The challenge is when you say that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, or when you say that Jesus Christ is God the Son, or when you say that Jesus Christ is Lord God. Suddenly, do you realize that most of the religions of the world will accept Jesus as Rabbi? Do you realize that? In fact, almost every cult includes teaching about Jesus, because no one is willing to say that Jesus is a bad man. Everybody wants to say he was such a good example. He's a great teacher and his teachings are wonderful. But I need to ask you, my friend, this morning, is Jesus Christ your Lord? Is he your Lord? Is he your master? Have you submitted to him? You see, it's good that he died on the cross for sin. It's good that he's a great teacher. But is he your Lord? Have you submitted your life to him? When you wake up in the morning, is it your sole desire to please him, to walk in his path, to submit to his will?
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550. 5550 or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant, Steve Washington, and our entire church family, this is Taylor Noble reminding you to tune in same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.